Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
Hey, I'm doing good. Happy Victory Monday. It's always good when it's a Victory Monday.
Yeah, basically about 24 hours ago, a little less than that. But yeah, the Packers won their Week 4 contest against the Pittsburgh Steelers 27-17, brings them to a record of 3-1. As they, just as you know, the week started, they were at the top of the NFC North. The Steelers are at the bottom of the AFC North. Those two things have maintained. Any general thoughts about this game before we get into the specifics?
I don't think the Packers played their best game. Yeah, I think they left some points out there. They could have easily put up a 40 burger, I think. But Ben Roethlisberger is really not good. unfortunate for Pittsburgh fans, but before we get into other stuff, that was two general things. Like, wow, that the first drive, he looked good. And then after that, it was all downhill.
Again, going back to our offseason ranking of the quarterbacks, part of my reason for ranking him as high as I did was, okay, early season, he'll be good, but then he'll use up all the arm strength. The end of the season won't be so good. So knowing they faced off against the Steelers week four, I thought, okay, we'll maybe get the better Ben. I feel like this game was a microcosm of Ben himself, right? It started off really strong and then it's like used up all the arm strength on the opening drive and then had nothing left. It's not just arm strength. I think inaccuracy. He missed some chances. There's a couple plays. I mean, one by Juju that he was open, probably would have scored a touchdown on it. Another one by Diontae Johnson. And it's unfortunate that such great wide receiver play was hurt by such poor quarterback play, really, because I'll be honest, I thought Diontae Johnson coming off injuries, wasn't sure. I figured, okay, Alexander, this might be his chance to get the better of Diontae here, but it was exactly the opposite. Johnson torched Alexander a couple times, one for the opening drive score and touchdown, which apparently is the Steelers' first opening drive touchdown in 13 games. It's the first one this season. That's not good that the Packers were the team to allow that. But kudos to Diontae Johnson, because I thought he played an amazing game and really showed it against Alexander.
Yeah, he's a good receiver. And, just his style, I think is a matchup problem for guys. On that touchdown, I think Alexander misplayed that ball a little bit. It looked like he slowed up a little bit. And thank God they didn't throw a flag, because that push-off was not a push-off. Let the guys play. So I'm happy they didn't throw that, even, would have benefited us. But it was tic-tac, so good thing they didn't throw it. But, he's really good. He got behind Alexander, a few times. And Jair, and other times, covered him really well. But he was open. He's a good player. His game is really good.
Yeah, I don't think we can definitely complain about the refs this game. After the 49ers' atrocious reffing performance that not only went against the Packers, but there were some calls against the 49ers too. There was maybe two instances. One call that was made that maybe shouldn't have been. Another that wasn't made that should have been. One benefited one team, the other benefited the other team. I thought it was pretty fair balance, so good job, refs. I didn't really see any issue.
Yeah, they were bad all around. So, I mean, I was talking to some friends, and off topic a little bit, but I'm like, was officiating this bad 25 years ago, or was we just didn't have the technology and different angles, so we didn't notice it as much? But yeah, man, it's really bad. And it's across the NFL, just bad calls or, them just not, doing their job. So yeah, good job, refs.
Not to rant about this too much, I do feel like the officials, the on-field referees themselves get a little bit of a bad rap. The NFL Rules Committee has just kind of been a mess these last few years, constantly changing things. I feel like every year the refs are kind of asked to almost relearn the game a little bit. So especially early in the season, I think you might get a game like the Week 3 49ers Packers game. So I think that's more the lack of support by the NFL to their officials. It's kind of like what we always say with the players, with their collective bargaining agreements, right? Like, they get some stuff, but you see stuff like the taunting penalties, right? You can't blame the refs for calling them if that's what they're being told to do by the NFL. So why is the NFL making that taunting rule, right? So I blame the league, which is that I'm mostly inclined to do all the time anyway. But yeah, come on. All that money, you can't get it from the NFL.
Right. I can agree with that 100%. We can close the but we could talk about this all day. But yeah, I agree with you. It's just, it's a league problem.
Something that isn't a problem, though, again, the Packers. Okay, it wasn't perfect, but, you know, a win's a win. 10-point victory here, better than a 2-point victory against the 49ers. I got to say, offensively, yeah, they maybe left some points on the board. They could have been more efficient, but I felt that it's weird. The vaunted 49ers defense, right? And I mean, the Packers put up more points against them than they did against the Steelers, who are also a great defense. But outside of talent, one thing that I really saw between the two games was the coaching. And maybe losing Robert Saleh, that actually really affected the defense more than we should have expected. We were entering the season as, okay, if the 49ers get the quarterback play, and now they might have it, but if they get that quarterback play, they could be the favorites in the NFC or you know, certainly the NFC West. But while the talent's there on defense, is the coaching there? Because it seemed like they didn't disguise anything against the Packers, and against Aaron Rodgers, he's going to figure it out. Whereas the Steelers, it seems like that was a really conscious effort to put a bunch of players at the line of scrimmage and not disguise who's blitzing, who's in coverage, and really force Rodgers to figure things out post-snap. And I thought he actually did a pretty good job of that. So just better coaching from the coordinator's standpoint on the Steelers side, I guess, defensively anyway, because I think offensively there's maybe a lot of questions with them, but at least compared to like the 49ers, who I can't remember who their defensive coordinator is now, but I mean, Robert Saleh, that's big shoes to fill in, and I think it's going to take some time there. So maybe, you know, I don't think it sinks the 49ers season, but maybe their chances, as I know, they lost to a division rival again this week in the Seahawks, so their chances of winning the division, I think, are kind of slipping away from them already, but that division might also send four teams to the playoffs, so who knows?
Yeah, not to talk about the Niners too much, because that was, you know, two games ago, but yeah, you know, it's I think that defense is still trying to find their identity. You know, new coach, you know, same kind of concept and system, but, you know, the NFL's a week-to-week league. It's really hard to – I don't like to compare, oh, well, last week we beat this team, and then this week this team should be lesser. You know, each week the teams have more film, you know, to see what worked against opponents and what didn't, and trying different things, right? And I think, you know, Pittsburgh has – they have playmakers on all levels like the Niners do. And you're right. I think they, you know, they have nothing to lose, right? This is a one win team, you know, who need a win. So they're like, hey, we're going to throw different looks and try to maybe make a play or get, you know, get a turnover, do something. So yeah, especially early, you know, I don't think Aaron Rodgers had his best game, you know, and he'll probably tell you there's a few throws that he wishes he could have back, you know, I agree. Like we left points out there, like I said earlier, but you know, they brought a lot of guys up to the line, you know, and moving around and giving them different looks. For the most part, the offense played well. Hats off to the offensive line. These young kids inside, they're opening holes. You know, we got A.J. Dillon rolling. You know, we had 33 rushes for, I think, 130-some yards. That's good enough, right? Aaron Jones didn't have the greatest game on the ground, but he almost had 100 yards overall. A.J. Dillon, over 5 yards a clip. I wish we could close games out, you know, more, but, like, he was kind of the hammer in the second half. It was nice to see, but man, those young kids up front, they're getting it done. I mean, this Steelers are good, right? You know, and they have a good front seven and they're doing their job. Like I said, it's week to week, not scoring big points, you know, and the passing game's not, you know, getting chunk plays. It's nice to see that this team, okay, let's lean on the running game a little bit more and win in different ways. And that's a big thing. And I think that's what kind of hurt us when we got against good teams last year in the playoffs, you know, the Bucs game, where when we got taken out of what we like to do, we didn't have any answers for it. Where this year it's kind of looking like, hey, if we got to win dirty or we have to win a different way or we have to lean on like a different style, we can do it. Or the Packers can do it. I'm sorry. I don't know why I keep saying we, but the Packers can do that. So, you know, it's a week to week league. So, you know, it's nice to see. And next week's going to be a whole different challenge.
We're all one big Packers family here looking forward to every game, right? So that's what that comes from. But I want to echo your statements about the offensive line. Just talk about especially those three young guys in the middle. I think all at times played really outstanding. And you're saying, like, do your job. Sometimes it's not the, you know, you don't have to embarrass a defender and knock them all the way to the ground. And I think Aaron Rodgers' rushing touchdown, it was a perfect example of doing just enough, right? Royce Newman had to block TJ Watt one-on-one, and he didn't block him long, but he held him up just long enough to allow Rodgers that lane, and Watt did try to chase him, and maybe if Watt was 100% healthy, he's fast enough at that point to catch him, but you know, you can't control it. You just play the player as they are in front of you. And on that play, Newman did just enough to delay Watt so that he couldn't catch Rodgers. So that was, like, I think a really good example of doing just enough, even if it doesn't look like the most successful play. It was still a great play by Newman.
Right. Yeah. You know, get a hat on a hat. Right. And that's what they say, you know, just do enough. And these guys are doing more than that. I mean, each week, you know, we started early struggling with the run game, but the pass protection was playing pretty good. You know, now we're starting to see these guys are starting to flow, and they're starting to play as a, like we talked about last week, as one. They're playing as a unit. It's really nice to see. You know, hopefully they can keep, you know, improving each week, and hey, we get our studs back on that line, we're going to have a hell of a line again.
I guess one of the things to talk about next is it's a win, but there's also maybe a bit of an aspect of a loss in the game. Jair Alexander left with an injury trying to tackle the pretty good looking running back right now, Najee Harris, who, you know, did pretty well against the Packers as well. That was maybe to be expected, as kind of the, especially with the receivers banged up, the weapon to kind of focus in on. And what did he get? Not almost 100 yards from scrimmage, scored the touchdown. Najee Harris, Deontay Johnson were great, tough tests for the Packers, and they were able to win, but both those players had success. But yeah, Jair Alexander trying to tackle him, which Alexander is such a physical corner, always helping out in the run game, but appeared to have injured himself. We were discussing, we're not really sure yet. They haven't really said much. Figure by the preview episode for the Bengals episode this week, we'll know more. But as of right now, at first I thought wrist, that you were kind of talking more maybe, you know, AC joint or collarbone, something around the shoulder. So not really sure yet. Okay, I'm not mistaken, he was carted off, right? Like, he got off the field on his own, but then was carted to the locker room, right?
Yeah, first things, like you said, it looked like a wrist, and then when he was holding his wrist like that, I'm like, oh man, that could be a collarbone, and then it's like he's done. But then he lifted both arms over his head on the sideline, so that's good. And the initial report now is a sprained AC joint, so I'm sure they're doing tests today, going to check it all out. Hopefully there's no structural damage. This, you know, guys can play with that, you know, just a matter of how bad it is. So hopefully it's not bad, and it's, I mean, we're losing a lot of key players lately, so hopefully it's not too long, you know, next man up mentality. But I will say on that play, I don't know why teams try to run screens to Jair's side. I know Harris is a load, but that dude sniffs him out and blows him up like I've never seen before. It was a heck of a play. But, yeah, running into that dude, Najee Harris, yeah, he's going to hurt some people. So great play, but unfortunately, you know, an injury came with it.
So talking about just that, like in losing important players, and you kind of referenced this last episode, I think. So in terms of like who is the best, most important players on the Packers, it starts and ends with the quarterback on most teams anyway. But when you have one of the best quarterbacks in history, it's gonna be him. So I think, you know, this team lives and dies by Aaron Rodgers. So he's always going to be number one, no matter what, as long as he continues his excellent play. So in terms of the best Packers player, Rodgers is one. And then whoever's number two, you might have really a half a dozen guys that can all say like they're the number two player on the Packers team. Half of them are injured right now. You've got Bakhtiari, you got Jenkins, now you've got Jair Alexander and Za'Darius Smith. Really, like the other two guys I'm thinking are Kenny Clark and Davante Adams, right? In terms of like those premier Packers players that kind of are truly the best players on the team. So yeah, it's more pressure on the Rodgers and Adams connection. I know Roger, again, Adams led the team in targets. Surprise, surprise there. And yeah, so it's, you know, the depth of this team is really being tested this year.
Right, and tested early. So, I mean, I don't want to say if there's a good time for injuries, you know, have it early. You know, hopefully these guys can come back. But yeah, you're right. And when you're, you know, anybody could argue out of all those guys that you said, those first four, you know, they're number two or number three on this team, depending on what you're looking at, what's important. And so far, you know, the backups have held their own, but, you know, at corner, we're already kind of thin. You know, I don't want to say, you know, hey, we have Kevin King, that, but we're going to have to lean on some other guys if Jair's out for a while, you know. And so hopefully, you know, Stokes, they're trying to pick on him early. That kid has mental toughness. Like, it's great. As a rookie, you know, you think them trying to beat on you and pick on you and keep throwing at you, he's perfect corner. He forgets and he goes on and he makes the next play. So you just don't want to keep getting thin at a position where, you know, that's where we question the depth, right? They're in the D line. And I will say, you know, the defense played pretty well outside of that first drive. They played good. They tackled well again, you know, and some other guys started stepping up when we needed them to, you know, Kiki. Finally, hey, there's a Kiki sighting after, you know, we've been waiting for him to show up. He hit that huge fumble. You know, that was big. You know, Rashawn Gary, just high effort sack. Kenny Clark is playing the best football in his career the last three games. That dude is wrecking everybody. Like, if you just watch him on a play-to-play basis, there's Aaron Donald and there's everybody else, right? I don't think outside of Aaron Donald, there's not another defensive lineman playing like Kenny Clark is right now. It might not show up in the stat sheet, but he is blowing up plays. Devondre Campbell, another great game, you know, led the team in tackles. So where other guys are stepping up, but yeah, let's get this team healthy and no more big injuries.
Yeah, so for the cornerback position, I mean, like, they're still waiting for Kevin King to come back. He was, I think, questionable entering this week. So there's maybe a chance he comes back for the Bengals game in week 5. But if not, they're probably touting out Eric Stokes and then Isaac Yiadom as the other starters next week. So we'll see if that exchange from the Giants comes in handy. I know Yiadom had to play. He played decently from the, you know, limited time. I just looked it up. He played 30% of the snaps, I guess, is what he was forced to play this week against after Alexander went out. So it might be more than a third of the snaps next week. So I feel like if that's the case, Stokes might not see as many targets as he did this week, because he was kind of you want to avoid Alexander, so you got to go the other way. But with Stokes out there, that, you know, I could see Burrow maybe thinking, let's pick on Isaac Yiadom. Unfortunately, it's a team with a lot of really good receivers. It's not the type of game you'd want to go in short on corners for. Like, you know, Stokes might have to go up against the another first round rookie in Jamar Chase. And the way Chase has been playing, I don't know. I'm a little concerned for the rookie. But that being said, I think Stokes has played tremendously. Again, what has kind of happened the last 2-3 drafts with the Packers is, one of them is Jordan Love, but two first round picks, Savage and Stokes. And all I heard on draft night was, who? These guys in the first round? What? What are these? What are the Packers thinking? Like, Savage was a trade up and all this talk. Oh, they could have waited. And yet, like, Savage has come up nothing but perform since he's been there from day one. And Stokes is kind of the same. So we can criticize Gutekunst for a lot, maybe the entire 2020 draft class. I really like AJ Dillon though. But one thing I think though is that staff really gets player development at the cornerback position. Well, in the secondary, really, defensive backs in general, it seems like they're really good at identifying that talent and making it work. So kudos to the Stokes pick. It seems, because that was one that was maybe a little criticized on draft night and beyond.
Right. And I mean, we're getting early returns on these guys too. I mean, these guys are coming in right away. And let's be honest, usually rookies that are starting are going to struggle. And of course, these guys have their, you know, moments. But the nice thing about Stokes, and it's been said by the coaching staff and other players, you know, if he makes a mistake or gets beat, he doesn't get beat again in the same, you know, with the same thing. And Aaron Rodgers is praising him. He said they're setting him up for a double move. And he said that early. And guess what? They tried a double move in the preseason. He got beat on it. This one, he played perfect. It didn't work. So this kid is learning on the, you know, he's learning on the job and not making the same mistake twice. And it's nice. And you're right. You look at this secondary when they're all healthy, this is, and they're young, it's going to be a staple of this defense. And the big thing is, you know, if you draft well, you want to keep these guys for a second contract, right? And I know you have to pay them then if they're around, but that should be the goal. You know, by year 3, 4, 5, these guys are worth that second contract. And so far, these guys are going to be worth it.
Well, I mean, Kenny Clark's worth it, right? I mean, that money they paid for him, right? So it's, they're showing they're developing these guys, they're drafting them well, and if they're paying off, they're going to be rewarded, and they're going to want to keep them long term. So, because Clark, like you said, he was a monster out there. And one thing I mentioned, I believe last episode, was it seems like every time he gets double teamed, something good happens. So it's to force those double teams. And then the play where Ben Roethlisberger fumbled on the strip sack and which Clark recovered, he was facing a double team there. So good on Kiki to win his one-on-one battle and get that. But Clark to force the double team to get close enough penetration to then recover the football as it was fumbled, like that's brilliant, right? Like that's beautiful. And it kind of leads me into the Packers' prime performer in this victory against the Steelers. And I kind of have Clark as one of my nominees. I haven't really decided who I have as my number one yet. I really want to talk to you about it, but Clark would be one guy I'd kind of put forward. Were there any other names that you wanted to mention alongside?
Yeah, I think I had two guys, but I think my clear cut number one is okay. MVS is out, right? So we don't have that over the top guy. Randall Cobb coming back as a Packer. Now he's in the top 10 in touchdowns. He passed James Jones. He had five receptions, right? Five receptions, two were touchdowns, and three were conversions on third down. You can't get any more clutch than that, and we leaned on him in this game, and he came through. I mean, those are game-changing plays, right? You know, third downs, Rodgers is going to Cobb. He had six targets. He had a pass breakup, too, because that one was for Devontae. So I don't know if that was the target or not, but, you know, third downs. He converted him, and then he got in the end zone twice, and he was not going to be denied on that first one. He went in hard. Welcome back, Randall Cobb. You know, everybody's, hey, where's Cobb? Where's Cobb? Well, guess what? When they needed him, he stepped up this week. He would get mine. The other one would have been A.J. Dillon. You know, he came in after being quiet and, I mean, just dominated. But for me, it's Cobb.
The two in my mind were Clark and Cobb. So I think we'll meet the middle and say it's Randall Cobb this week because – and you gave the argument I was going to give. The clutch catches, everything was for on a third down or for a touchdown. Led the team in receiving yards, too, right? So, as much as Adams had 11 targets, and he had one more catch than Cobb, he actually had less yards. So, showing maybe the Steelers adding extra attention towards Adam, allowing Cobb to be open. Speaking of Cobb being open, on that play that he broke up the pass that I think counts as an Adams target, technically, but on that play, I actually think Cobb was more open than Adams was, and it would have been almost the smarter play to go to Cobb. But I think maybe Cobb sensed that he felt he was open. That ball kind of coming in his vicinity. Oh, this must be towards me, right? I mean, Adams is open as well. Let's be honest. Even when I think Hayden was on him, and Hayden actually played a pretty good game against him. I thought, and he was with him in step. He had the overtop, coverage there. So if Adams catches it, he might not score a touchdown. But I thought Cobb was kind of, NFL wide open on that play too. So even when he wasn't getting targets, he still did what he needed to do as a route runner. And yeah, when Rodgers was scrambling, that's the key, right? It's those scramble drills when the offensive line couldn't protect it. Who does he go to? Who knows where to be, where to be at the exact right spot? It seems like it's Cobb even more than Adams in those cases. That was the case. I mean, when Nelson was there, it was still the case too. It seems like he'd always favor Cobb on those third down ones where he needed to bootleg out or scramble around. And so I'll join you on that praise for Randall Cobb as the Packers prime performer for week four. So we can take him, and knowing Kenny Clark's on the streak he's going, he's going to get one of these weeks anyway.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're 100% right. Kenny Clark, like I said, it didn't show up in the stat sheets, but if you go back and watch that game, this dude's, dominating guys, but he's going to have a two sack game coming up. He's going to start getting home. So he will be, if sooner or later, he's going to be on our top performer.
And of course, if you have any opinions, listeners, about who the Packers prime performer was for, this week, any of the other weeks, we said Aaron Jones / Devondre Campbell. We're still kind of debating that one against the Lions. Mason Crosby, the clutch kick against the 49ers. So here, we're saying Randall Cobb. Do you think it's Kenny Clark? Do you think it's A.J. Dillon? Do you want us to just say Devondre Campbell every week? Let us know on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Also, you can follow your co-hosts individually. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. It brings you all the Full Press Coverage content in all forms, whether it's written or audio, and brings you all this content in one location. And so download that app. Again, it's for free, so no cost to you. It's available on every app store, so again, download the Full Press Coverage app. Shout out to PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. Let's just use the song Nah You as our intro and outro music, so thank you very much, PA, for that. And Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners?
Nope. On to our first early Sunday game of the year on week 5, and go Pack Go.
We're sticking to our stripes here, even against the Bengals, saying go Pack Go on the Full Press Packers pod.